Greetings and welcome everyone to the third and final episode of Behind the Breakthroughs, how AlMAC powers clinical trial success with care. I'm your host, Chris Warren. We've been on a journey in the first two episodes of this series. In the first episode, we learned about the many changes that are transforming drug development today. Specifically, we focused on the pivotal role that emerging biopharma companies play in researching and developing new drugs and treatments that benefit patients, and some of the challenges emerging biopharma firms face in running the clinical trials that are so important in successful drug development. In the second episode, we dug deeper into the project management skills, experience, and resources that play a pivotal role in running efficient, on-budget clinical trials. If you haven't had the chance to listen to those episodes, I would strongly recommend you give both a listen and then come back for this finale. We're going to cap this series off today with an episode titled Mastering Clinical Supply, How Clinical Supply Managers Turn Challenges into Solutions. The title of the episode is straightforward, but the work of clinical supply managers, or CSMs, is anything but simple. As we're about to learn, CSMs play a critical role in the execution of clinical trials. As the client advocate within AlMAC Clinical Services, the CSM navigates the complexities of supply management, from drug receipt to final disposition, ensuring trials stay on track despite evolving challenges. We're going to highlight real-world scenarios where expert planning, adaptability, and risk mitigation were essential. For example, we'll discuss how CSMs manage drugs with short expiry and limited availability, and how they adapt supply strategies when new countries are added. Additionally, we'll explore how they navigate regulatory changes, align stakeholders to maintain study efficiencies, and meet country requirements. To walk us through the essential work CSMs do, we're fortunate to have two experienced CSMs who together have probably had to solve just about every logistical and regulatory challenge imaginable. We're joined today by John Leffler and Joanne Mackin, who both work as CSMs for AlMAC Clinical Services. It's great to have you both here today, so let's jump right in. Anyone who has listened to the first two episodes will know that clinical trials have a lot of moving parts and require proactive and consistent communication among multiple stakeholders to proceed efficiently. Joanne, can you orient the audience about where CSMs get involved in a clinical trial?
Yes. Hi, Chris. Thanks for having us here today. Absolutely. So CSMs like myself and John would get involved following award of a quote produced by our business development staff and the customer. So for those who don't know, some of the areas covered in the quote include the scope of AlMAC activities and a high level timeline. In addition to packaging and labeling requirements, the projected number of patients, country mix and release requirements are detailed, as well as other logistical and supply chain considerations. So we review the scope of services with our business development team and then go over that in detail with the client during a kickoff meeting. The purpose of this meeting is to review the quote and interpret it with the client to better understand their decisions and identify any gaps. So where we see opportunities to improve the approach to the trial, we would raise those for discussion and share proposals for the best course of action. A simple example of that would be a recent quote included a kit containing 6 vials. So as we chatted through the kickoff meeting and I understood more about the study design and what each patient would receive, I asked a bit more about why they had decided to package in a 6-by kit. And then I suggested that actually maybe a 1-by kit would be better to allow more flexibility for varied site and patient demands and overall reduce the wastage. So following that discussion, the kit design was changed to a 1-by kit. Another example of that is assessing the number of operations planned in the quote and just making sure that that aligns with the amount of bulk drug available at the time for sending to AlMAC. If all the drug is available at the start of the study and has sufficient expiry, then one labelling operation may be sufficient. But if we are going to get multiple receipts of that over time, we would need to ensure that we have enough packaging campaigns to cover that. So ideally, we take the quote and execute against it. It's an estimate of what's expected at the start, and we often find that changes are required through the course of the study. These will be highlighted during our regular customer meetings, and we work together with business development to maintain the quote and ensure it's as accurate as possible. Usually it's small changes like the addition of another site, but sometimes we'll end up changing it substantially, maybe to add a new treatment group procure commercial product which needs labelled and add a whole range of new countries. So we just have to be flexible and able to adapt.
Great. Thanks, Joanne. So being nimble is really important. And we're going to talk more about how CSMs need to adjust to changing circumstances in just a minute. But I want to talk about something I mentioned in the introduction first. CSMs are the client advocate inside LMAC. And John, I want you to take this question. Is that a responsibility you feel, and how do you approach it?
Yes, definitely. I do feel a tremendous responsibility to my clients and their patients. I'm always working with my team to try to figure out the best way to accomplish what the client wants to achieve. And I'm constantly thinking about which team members I should be pulling in to make this process move forward efficiently. Now, Joanne did a great job of explaining how a quote is basically a living document. And once I review and discuss the details of the quote with the client, I'll start using the quote to guide the next steps and figure out where LMAC resources are needed. The client won't know all our capabilities, which is why it's important for CSMs to be their internal advocate. Let me give an example about why that's necessary. LMAC has facilities around the world to provide flexibility to the needs of our clients. This includes the US, EU, UK, and APAC regions. I'm constantly trying to clearly communicate with the correct teams to move our project along, ultimately allowing for the needed medication to get to my client's patients before or when needed. The quote will explain where and how drugs need to be shipped. That information is important up front because I will know which LMAC facilities need to be involved depending on where drugs need to go. And once I know those details, I proactively reach out to team members in the relevant facilities to include them in the trial's kickoff call and involve them early so they can plan and not be caught off guard. Being an advocate also demands CSMs be good listeners and build strong relationships with clients. That way you get clear on what their priorities are, which helps us know what to emphasize. Are they cost focused? What is their approach to quality? Do they want to do full document reviews? You know, these are things you need to learn when you spend time with clients, and it helps guide how to best meet their needs. One of the areas where we will advocate for clients is on scheduling. We can make it clear internally when a client's position on a schedule risk having a negative patient impact and proactively adjust to avoid that happening. There are a lot of details and challenges CSMs handle, but on a big picture level, being an advocate for clients is about looking at the trial as a whole and lining up the people and the resources needed document-wise, material-wise, component-wise, and everything else before this trial starts so it can move ahead smoothly. Often, what is in the initial quote and what ends up taking place are quite different. I am an advocate for my clients, making sure that our team members are aware of these updates and working towards making these changes swiftly.
Great. Thanks, John. So let's get into the challenges that you guys face in all of these trials. They're going to be different from trial to trial, and I'm hoping we can just underline and highlight what that looks like. Joanne, I'm going to have you start. What obstacles do you face when you have, say, short expiry dates in a clinical trial?
Yeah. Okay. So short expiry dates can be a complex balancing act. So something that we would like to understand at the start of a study is the expected shelf life of the drug that we will be packaging. When this is a relatively short duration, there's an elevated risk of drug shortages, missed patient dosing, and higher wastage. So it's therefore important to plan and decide how expiry dates will be managed. We need to know if the drug will be updated regularly or if new batches will be supplied when each one expires. If expiry updating is expected, we can build the costs into the quote from the start. Some other things we could do are checking initially if the inner component label, for example, on the vial, needs to have an expiry date detailed if this is also already on the outer carton. This is determined by the client's regulatory team based on the country requirements. So if it's only on the carton, this makes application of an expiry overlabel more efficient, as only the carton needs updated and the kit doesn't need to be opened. When we know that expiry date update labelling will be required, we can ensure during the generation of the label that there's sufficient space available to accommodate multiple expiry overlabels. Whilst expiry update activities are being performed, the kits also need to be suspended in the IRT as they're physically unavailable for ordering until the activity is complete and they are released. So typically two expiry update operations happen to have some kits available to support ongoing shipping requests. Another way to manage frequent expiry date changes is to apply a label detailing the expiry date at the point of dispatch. a distribution strategy can be implemented so labelled kits minus the expiry can be sent to the various ALMAC facilities located closest to the sites or countries in the trial. The expiry date would then be applied to the required quantity and type of kits as detailed on the site order prior to shipping. So I just mentioned the distribution strategy, and it's important to consider that in the planning, the timelines required to get drugs into each country, as this can vary significantly, and to manage a supply chain to ensure sufficient time is available to have material expiry updated, released, shipped and receipted into all required countries well ahead of that do not dispense date for the drug. For example, if a drug is expiring at an ALMAC managed depot in Ukraine and that needs to be replaced, this activity should be started approximately 3 months before that expiry date.
Okay, Joanne, I want you to keep going here. You talked a little bit about multiple countries, and I really want to dig in more about the challenges that come with running trials that include patients in multiple countries. What are some of the common obstacles that you see, and what have you done in the past to overcome them?
Yeah, so getting medication into patients in different countries requires an in-depth knowledge of both the regulations and the logistics of shipping. So things we would consider is, does a client need an importer of record to get into a country, and have they planned for that? Do they need to contract with a third party for this service if ALMAC don't have the capability in that country? We also ask about import license requirements and who is responsible for that. Who would approve the shipping invoices? Sometimes there are lots of documents required to support shipping, and we can assist with that. Some countries such as Israel and Turkey require an additional release of that drug once it arrives. So we need to ensure that the required paperwork is available and associated timelines are built into that overall plan, so there are no surprises. An important question as well is, what are their temperature control and monitoring plans? In some developing nations, they may not have adequate logistical support to keep drugs at the required temperature during transit. For example, ultra-low material that requires dry ice. And ALMAC can assist with capturing all temperature monitoring data in our TempEZ portal. For drugs going to Japan, specific lots have to be manufactured at our ALMAC facility, so they will pass the stringent inspection criteria required upon entry to Japan. And this includes additional time and costs. Another question then for the clients is whether they are thinking of running a trial in groups of countries that may raise problems. So it can be challenging to run a trial simultaneously in, for example, Taiwan and China. It is possible to do, but if you have a booklet label with both Taiwan and China in it, it can be difficult to get that drug into China. We also need to adapt to the changing political situations across the world, such as in Russia and Ukraine, Belarus, Israel more recently, where wars have brought logistical challenges. As CSMs, we have experience and can provide guidance and help to answer these questions. And we also have dedicated customs and logistics teams to support us with more detailed queries. It's just important first to raise these questions so clients know what the potential stumbling blocks can be. An example of how we navigated a multi-country trial where the first country was in the US. We sent a portion of the bulk drug to our facility in PA in the US for labelling there with a single panel label for US, and that got the trial started in the US. And the remaining bulk drug was at our Craigavon facility, and we applied a multi-country booklet label there to include the US. So subsequent distribution activities were from ALMAC Craigavon. We shipped to the US, Hong Kong, India, Argentina, Ukraine, Israel, and sites within the EU. ALMAC managed depots were set up in India, Israel, Hong Kong, Argentina, and Ukraine. Typically, countries don't all start up in a trial at the same time, so it's important for us to discuss the expected country startup dates with the clients, and that's usually based on the country approval dates and the import license availability. So we plan the dates that the depots are needed to be set up, and the timing of requests for information and documentation that we require on a country basis. So that means we're not asking for everything all at once, and we can spread that workload across a longer period so it's more manageable for everyone. And these dates are obviously subject to change as time goes on, so recruitment for the trial can ramp up across the world and may not be as expected, so we can adjust our plans and strategies in line with that as well.
Great, thanks, Joanne. So John, I'm going to come back to you now. CSMs don't work exclusively on clinical trials, and sometimes you help make managed access programs or MAPs possible. Can you explain what MAPs are and what you do to help them run smoothly?
Sure. A MAP is not a clinical trial, but but it allows patients to access investigational or unapproved drugs outside of clinical trials. This is typically when a patient faces a life-threatening disease. There are other names for this, such as early access, expanded access, or compassionate use programs, depending on the destination country that our clients are trying to send drugs. Because these drugs are not approved, there is a lot of work and critical differences that goes into shipping them to different countries. Distributing these drugs can be very challenging. A sponsor must want to do a MAP, but they come with their own unique regulatory obligations and demand their own distribution and exit strategies. At ALMAC, we have an unlicensed medicines team dedicated to helping clients navigate the various country requirements. My client tells me which country they'd like to send this MAP material to, and we meet with someone from this team to find solutions.
Great. So we're going to wrap up things here, and I wanted to ask you both, what's the most personally satisfying thing about the work you do? John, how about you?
Happy to. Often when we're feeling well, we take it for granted. And when we are not feeling well, we will give anything to feel better. And all the hard work and knowledge from myself, our various teams at ALMAC, along with our clients, has resulted in treatments receiving FDA approval and making them available to patients to help them feel better. Knowing that I have been a part of that process is incredibly satisfying.
Joanne, how about you?
So we don't often get to see the results of our trials that we work on. So it's really great when we do get to see the successes. And one in particular always will stick in my mind. So a client sent a video of a small child who'd been enrolled in one of the trials that we supported. He'd muscular dystrophy and was unable to walk. And in this video, the little child was walking up the stairs. So for me, just thinking I had even a tiny part in helping that happen was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a great story. And I really don't think we could end with anything better. Ultimately, all of the work that CSMs do is about the patient. And that's a good reminder of that fact. So thanks to both of you, Joanne and John, for really great conversation and for walking us through all of the problem solving that you do to make these trials happen and to ultimately benefit patients. So thanks so much for that. And thanks to all of you in the audience for joining us for the series. We hope you enjoyed it and learned a few things too. Thanks again and goodbye.